Psalm 84. Psalm 84. To the choir master, according to the Gritith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This is God's word. Amen. Let's close our eyes and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for once again for this morning, O Lord. Lord, we pray and submit our hearts to you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together today. Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts to hear from you, Lord. Lord, I pray you help us all to understand your word. Show us how to follow you in our daily lives. May the Spirit of the Lord guide us, teach us, and change us. So we leave encouraged and closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be looking at Psalm 84. I chose the psalm a few weeks ago. I was doing a call to worship on the psalm, and it really got my attention. And I felt like I spent some time on this during my holidays. Last couple of weeks, I was in Kaitaya. This is the psalm which came to my heart, and I was spending time on doing my devotion on the psalm. So I thought I'll just share a little bit from my devotion, what the Lord has been ministering to me from this psalm. The psalm, one of the favorite passages from this psalm is Psalm 84, verse 10 is, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. We would have heard it many times in our life. Better is one day than a thousand elsewhere. But what the psalm is actually talking about? See, as we look at this, the psalm, it was written by the sons of Korah. Sons of Korah, when we look at Exodus and Numbers 16 and Numbers 26, we see the Korathites are the people who are the worship leaders. Comes from a Levitical family. So Levites are the ones who have been called to be the priests. who've been chosen by God to serve him in the altar of God, and they all had different duties. And the Korathites are the ones who had the duty to sing psalms and, you know, sing songs and worship the Lord, and also the doorkeepers of the altar of the Lord. So they cannot enter. That's not their duty. They are the ones who stand at the door. They are the doorkeepers. But when you look back in the Old Testament, those are the people who rebelled. Their parents, their forefathers rebelled against Moses. And the punishment of the Lord came upon those people. Around 250 people were swallowed. The earth opened and swallowed them. And the judgment of the Lord came upon them instantly as they stood against Moses and God. Because Moses is representing God. When they were standing against Moses, it's like they're not trusting in the Lord. And some of the sons of Korah did not take part in the rebellion. And they received the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord, and they were not being punished, but received mercy and continued to live. And these are the people here serving in the tent of meeting, in the altar of God, as doorkeepers, as musicians, and singing psalms. And now they really understand the privilege of life and mercy and grace. So when we read that now, better is one day in the courts of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. They really know what the mercy of the Lord is. God did not punish them with others when their parents rebelled, but God's been merciful when they did not take part in the rebellion with their family. And these people singing this psalm, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." They really understand what it is to be in the presence of God. Coming from a couple of weeks of holidays, you know, you think, the whole year has been busy. You take a couple of weeks and you go. You know, everyone longs for a place where they, you know, you want to take a rest. You want to go to a place where you feel like home. And for me, whenever I take a, during break, we go to India, meet our family members. We're like, oh, we always like, oh, we want to go meet my family. We want to go meet my cousins and, you know, friends. And you go there, they're like, when are you going to come back home? When you're here, you're thinking about India. When you're in India, you're thinking about New Zealand. You know, my kids are like, the moment you land there in India after a few days, like, "Daddy, when we are going home?" So when, you know, you long for a place where you truly belong, where you feel at home. You know, sometimes we say, "I need a break. If I could just get away from all this, if life would just settle down." But when we arrive at those places, whether it's holidays or whatever we've been waiting to achieve in our life, when we come to that achievement, or the things that we've been waiting to secure our life, when we have that security in our life, something still missing in our life. Psalm 84 tells us what we are truly longing for is not a place, but a presence. A presence where you truly desire God and be with God. A life that is centered on God's presence is a truly blessed life. So I'm going to share 3 points from this passage. The first one is desiring God. When you look at the psalmist, verse 1 to 4, the psalmist says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Selah. They meditate on that. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. As you look at this, you know, is my heart really longs for God? Is my heart really yearns for my Lord? Does it desire God? You know, sometimes you could be in a place of worship, but yet you may not be worshiping the Lord. You might do it as a duty. The Korathites, the Korahs, the ones who are there, they might do it as a duty. They can sing songs, you know, all that. But yet, that's not what they are doing there. Their heart is yearning for the Lord. The heart is longing for the Lord. The heart desires God's presence, and the worship is outflow of that. It is not just a duty that they are following. They're doing out of outpouring of love of the transformed heart. And they know the mercy of the Lord, what the Lord has done, keeping them alive. And they look at the altar as doorkeepers and they rejoice. And they always earn to see being in the presence of God. Verse 3 is a beautiful verse which I shared a few weeks ago. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have a young, a place near your altar. You know, in the tent of meeting, we are not sure if it's the tent of meeting or temple, but I think in those times, the tent of meeting, where these birds comes and builds the nest next to the altar. And as the doorkeepers, Korathites, the Korahs are watching this. They're so jealous of those birds being in the presence of God. And when you look at these two birds, you know, one of our commentator beautifully explains that these two birds are one of the smallest of birds. The sparrow is a bird. I don't think in the morning you get up and you put some bread outside your window, you see all the sparrows and miners coming in eating those. But sparrows are not something that you really see as a significant bird. A bird of insignificant. And you look at the swallow, when this tiny little bird, you know, tiny little sparrow kind of bird that very colorful in nature, but when you look at this bird, it never rests. It's always flying around, doesn't stay in one place. It shows about the restlessness of that bird. Even these two birds, which is insignificant, which is restless in their heart, yet it finds its place next to the altar of God, where the presence of God is. That's beautiful to see that how God is to those people who are insignificant in this world, who are not significant in the eyes of many, but in the eyes of the Lord, we are significant because we are washed by the blood of Jesus. And to those who are restless in their heart, God is the one who says, come to me, I will give you rest to those who are weary. He's willing to take away the weariness, the burden, and he wants to exchange that with rest. The rest that comes from the Lord. And he alone can give us that rest. I don't know how your year has been, the last 1 year, things would have been. The one word I can explain is could be good, but the other word could be crazy. Because the people I've met with, there are so many things that are going on in the lives of many people in our lives. In our congregation, health challenges, sickness, diseases, family problems. Yet there were many things that God has been doing in their life, but still they've been holding on to the Lord in all that restlessness, in all the challenges, because we know only in the presence of God we will find rest. Amen? Only in the Lord that we can find rest. And that's what the Korathites are saying here. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. So do we desire God like this? Or just the benefit he gives? No. We desire his presence. We desire the Lord. And our heart yearns for him and longs for him. The second point is depending on God for the journey. Verses 5:7 says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah." Blessed are those whose strength is in you, Lord. So this depending on God in our journey, when we look back in our life, as we look at the psalmist, as they go for a pilgrimage to go to the mountain of God, when you go to the valley of Baca, it's not a place of a beautiful place, easy to walk. It's a place of dryness. It's a place of desert. But in all that, God has strengthened them in their journey, in their pilgrimage. God has been with them in that journey. He has strengthened them. God did not help them to avoid the journey, avoid the dry season, avoid the desert road, avoid the dryness in their life. But God allowed it. God took them through that, and God strengthened them in their journey. Many times I look at the story of Joseph, I used to wonder, why did God do this? Why did God allow Joseph to go through this? Such a hard life as a young man, being sold by his brothers to these merchants, to the Midianite merchants, and have to go and be a slave, and you work hard and you come up as a servant under the master, and then you've been falsely accused and be put in the prison, and in the prison for many years in the darkness. But God has been molding him in that place, because God has a plan for that man. One day he will be in a place where he will look after the whole nation of Egypt, but also provide for his own family, so that the promise of God for Israel will come forth. Amen. Even in our journey, sometimes God allows all this hardship and suffering, but in that, God will strengthen our hearts. He will be with us. His presence will go with us, and he'll help us to strengthen us strength to strength. He's not talking about comfort to comfort. He's talking about strength to strength. That's a very important thing. He's not talking about comfort to comfort. God is not talking about comfort here. I will give you a comfortable life. No. We live in a broken world. There will be suffering on this earth. But God, when we call upon his name, his presence will guide us. He will strengthen us. And he will turn that into a place of springs. The autumn rains also will cover it with pools. As Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says in verse 12, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Sometimes people misquote this passage saying, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." But actually, when you look at the life of Paul, Paul says, "I've gone through all this. But in all the suffering, you know, in low and high, when I had enough and I didn't have anything, in all that, God was with me, so I can do all these things through Christ." Amen? When Christ is there in our life, we can do all things. He will look after us. He will strengthen us, so that one day we'll come to a place, as they say, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. That's the destination. You come to a place where you worship God and give your thanks and praise to him. Amen? And the third point is delighting in God above all else. Verses 9 to 12. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. See, as we look at the psalmist, the Korathites, they are the doorkeepers. They are the lowest in the position than live in luxury without God. You know, it's not about what sort of position you are in. It doesn't matter. But it's all about, am I in a place where I'm worshiping God? And that is the ultimate blessing in my life. You know, he says, God is the sun and shield. You know, sun is something that gives life to us. And shield is something, the one which defends us from all our problems, all our perils and war. And God says, and the psalmist says, God is sun and shield to me. He's the one who is my life, the one who provides for me, who cares for me. But he's also my shield, the one who defends me from all peril, all trouble. And God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. In the Old Testament, it says, if you live a righteous life, you will be blessed. But if you does not obey God and rebel, you will be cursed, you will be punished, you will be judged. But when you come, that's the Old Covenant. But when you come to the New Old Testament, when you come to New Covenant in Jesus, it's not the uprightness, the righteousness is not because of how you live. It's who has given you. It's Jesus Christ, the one who has given you this righteousness. And the righteousness is given as a gift to you. And because of that, you live in obedience in worshiping him. And Jesus becomes your righteousness. And in him, you have all good things given to you. He withholds no good things to the upright according to the old covenant, but according to the new covenant, each and every believer receives God's good things based on what Jesus has done and who Jesus is, so that we can walk uprightly. And the psalmist ends where it began. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So this Korathite understands that being a doorkeeper, being a worshiper, being the one musician, they understand the experience of trusting in the Lord is the one which brings a blessed life. In him alone, in his presence alone, there is a blessed life. And beautifully, John puts it in chapter 15. When we come to New Testament, when we look at Jesus, in John chapter 10 verse 10 says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And then chapter 15, it talks about, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen. Abide in him. Desire him. Love and long for his presence. And as Jesus says, abide in him. Because when we look at John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus is the one who comes and dwells among us. The word dwelling in chapter 1:14 in John talks about he's the made his tabernacle among us. In the tabernacle, God's presence came and filled that place where people can come and worship him. And here, in Jesus, God made his dwelling among us. He made his tabernacle among us. So when we put our trust in Jesus, when we trust in Jesus, that is where our joy comes from. So when we long for him, when we desire him, when we long for his presence, that is where the true joy is. When we abide in him, the true blessedness is joy in him. No matter what, you know, in our life, happiness changes based on what we have, what we don't have. One minute you have something, your happiness goes up. The other things are not good in your life, happiness goes down. But joy is something that stays the same forever. No matter what happens in your life, what threatens your life, what troubles your life, but the joy that the Lord gives will not shake based on the troubles of this world, because the joy is not of this world, it is from the Lord. When you abide in him, when you receive life from him, that life will go into your life, which will help how to live on this earth. And it changes your heart. You know, your desire, how to desire heart. When the Spirit of the Lord comes in us, he regenerates our heart. He transforms our hearts to align our desires with the desire of our Father. Makes a disobedient heart, it transforms into a heart that obeys our Father. You don't need to pull yourself together, but your heart will come in worship and surrender, because your heart is transformed. That happens only when you put your trust in Jesus and continue to abide in him. Amen? So I don't know last year how it has been. We know some of the things with what we shared and we hear, but only you and God knows what's been happening with you and your family. But I would say, the Lord knows it all. When we trust in him, when we seek his presence, there is joy. He sustains you and he guides you. Amen? You know, coming back to where we started, we chase after all the securities in life, with success in life, comfort and approval of people. But the psalmist here, Psalm 284, exposes a false promise of this world. You can have everything and still be empty without God. So many believers today are busy with church, familiar with God, but not dwelling with him, seeking his presence. Not longing for him or desiring him. But the psalmist calls us back not to activity as a duty, but abide in him. Let's recenter our desires. Continue to trust in him even when you go through the valley of Baca. Choose God's presence more than anything. Amen. And we'll come back with many testimonies, praising and giving thanks to the Lord this year. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, O Lord. A day where we can come as a family of God, together worship you with songs of praise, psalms and hymns, with your word speaking to us, helping us to reflect in our own heart and bring it all to you in submission with honesty and humility, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our life, O Father, through Jesus Christ. Because of him, we are alive. And because of him, one day, we will be with you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us and continue to sustain us, O Lord. We surrender our hearts to you. Bless us. Bless our family, bless our congregation, bless each and every one, O Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.